It's KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Our Northwest salmon seem to be disappearing. Scientists who count salmon off the Washington and Oregon coasts are, for the first time, hauling up empty nets. One scientist told the Seattle Times he wondered if there was something wrong with their equipment. What's going on, and why should you care about dwindling salmon? Here is Seattle Times environment reporter Linda Mapes. So good to see you again, Linda. Thank you.
Good to see you, Bill.
First of all, what's happened to the salmon?
Well, this is really disturbing news. You know, it's not often you talk to scientists and they sound like this.
Right.
They go out and they do a routine survey they've been doing for 20 years, and the results are so shocking. They think, God, is our net even working? Is there a big hole or something? And what did happen was they do a survey off the coast of Washington every year to check on the status of the juvenile salmon, the little guys, moving out that year.
You just made it out of fresh water and they're headed out.
Exactly. And so they were counting these fish from Nea Bay all the way down to midway down the Oregon coast. And what happened was they set out their trawl net and they pulled it once, they pulled it twice, they pulled it a third time, and there's absolutely nothing in it. And that was very alarming to them. And as they went further north, they started catching fish, but the wrong fish. Instead of catching the native salmon they were looking for from the Columbia River, they were catching warm water species, tropical species, fish that came here during the blob, that huge mass of superheated water in the ocean that came here, began forming off the coast of Washington and beyond in about 2013. A lot of species came into our waters that aren't normally here then, and the blob is gone, but those animals are still here. And
what does this say about the health of our waters?
Well, it's upside down, you know, this interconnected, beautiful system, everything connected to everything else. Right now, scientists are concerned they see some kind of profound shift underway, not just a blip in not-so-great ocean conditions. We're used to that in the Northwest. We talk about that. It happens. It comes. It goes. This is a little different. This seems to be a more wholesale shift where you have species out of place. You have food webs that are disrupted. You have little tiny things that the bigger things need to eat in very scarce supply, which means you have animals eating things they don't usually eat. And perhaps it's possible one of the reasons you're seeing so few juvenile salmon is because some of the birds that would normally be eating herring and other forage fish are turning to baby salmon because there's so few forage fish. Another thing that corroborates that theory is when they did surveys in the estuary, they didn't see the same sorts of problems. It seemed to be in the ocean. It was a shift in the ocean regime. And so this was so concerning to the scientists that they put together a memo and distributed it to managers at NOAA Fisheries, that's where these scientists work, really as an early warning, because in the ocean, as elsewhere in the environment, conditions today portend problems in the future. These are out-migrating juveniles, and if we have very few of them, of course, that means fewer returning adults in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very bad news in a system such as ours in the Pacific Northwest, where we have endangered orca whales that depend specifically on Chinook salmon, and in fact, salmon from the Columbia River, to sustain themselves. And we already have orcas at a 30-year low in their population, and at least part of the problem they're facing is starvation.
Yeah, so this is about tribal sustenance. This is about orcas, a fishing industry, tourism, affordable salmon on your plate, right?
Even identity. We think of ourselves as a place of abundance. This is a place where people have lived for more than 10,000 years because it is a place of abundance. And there's something heartbreaking and profoundly disturbing when that abundance become scarcity.
Meanwhile, I'm wondering whether we're nearing the end of farm salmon raising in Puget Sound. You know, some farm salmon pens collapsed this summer near the San Juan, sending 100,000 non-native Atlantic fish into our waters. This week, I want to play you something, Linda. This week, Washington Lands Commissioner Hillary Franz told KUOW maybe it's time for these Atlantic fish to go.
I believe that it is not in our state's best interest be having these non-native fish in the Puget Sound, especially given the threats that our own native species of salmon are facing already. I'm looking forward to a broad conversation with the critical stakeholders from our tribal communities to our state leaders about whether this is what we should be doing.
Is that big news for our lands commissioner to be saying that?
Absolutely. The lands commissioner holds the leases on public bedlands over which these farms operate. There are 8 of them in Puget Sound. And so for the leaseholder to say she's got grave doubts about even doing this certainly is news and important. And, you know, I think one of the things that I appreciate about this story, which people have been reading everywhere over and over, it's a story that people are really fascinated with. It's a useful story because it illuminates a lot. It illuminates, first of all, the fact that we even have this industry here, which, by the way, is not typical. Oregon has no open water Atlantic salmon aquaculture industry. California actually bans it, as does Alaska. So we're the only state that does this in the west coast of America.
British Columbia?
British Columbia is very heavily farmed. There are many, many fish farms there. There is actually an ongoing protest against those farms by some of the indigenous people who have actually occupied some of the farms, saying they refuse to leave until the BC government cancels the leases because of their concerns about pollution. And interestingly, now in our state, there's a very sustained cry from Native people as well as conservationists saying it's time for these farms to go. And state legislators are also looking at taking steps this legislative session to end this practice. Not all aquaculture. As you probably know, aquaculture is a very, very big business in Washington, everything from gooey ducks to clams. We're talking about something very specific here, which is open water Atlantic salmon net pen farming.
Meanwhile, let's talk about the great fish escape that happened in August. These 100,000 farmed Atlantic salmon entering the water. What was the concern and what has actually happened?
Well, this was a shock to a lot of people. So on a Saturday in August, suddenly one of these pens started to drift. And then by Sunday, it just plain blew apart. It just broke to pieces. And I heard about it because Lummi fishermen started calling me saying, hey, we're catching these Atlantic salmon in our nets. And it wasn't actually until Wednesday morning that Cook Aquaculture, which is a family-owned, privately held company based in New Brunswick, Canada, finally talked to the public about what had happened. They had told their regulators, but they hadn't made any public statements. And
And what have we learned from the unwanted experiment? What's happened to these Atlantic fish?
Well, they've dispersed far and wide. They caught about half of the fish. They either caught them or they never got out of the nets. They were entangled. But the rest of them, about 105,000 of them, they got out. And we had reports from Native fishermen and tribes, WDFW, and just ordinary people of finding these fish here, there, everywhere. Everywhere from down here in Seattle to all the way up in BC. And I mean far and wide.
And are there terrible results? Are they interbreeding? There were so many concerns. What do we know?
I'll tell you something. I think the single most interesting quote that I've heard in the reporting of this story came from a scientist up in Canada who said to me, anyone who tells you that this either is or isn't a problem is speaking either from emotion or ideology, because there's just no science. He is the only invasion ecologist that I could find who had published some peer-reviewed papers on this topic. The research in this just hasn't been funded because who wants to know, right?
Yeah.
So that's a big part of the problem here. We don't really know what happens. This is one of the worst escapes ever in Washington state. There have been bigger ones. Now, interestingly, in the past, WDFW has actually stocked these things, trying to get something else out there for people to catch, yep. And they were unsuccessful. We've had bigger escapes. We have not yet seen Atlantic salmon make their home in our waters. However, across the border in Canada, breeding by Atlantic salmon has occurred, not with Pacific salmon, but they have been able to replicate themselves. Now, so far, no one is aware of a crossbreeding between the two species. But, you know, David Montgomery at the University of Washington wrote an op-ed piece in our paper, and it was interesting. He talked about just increasing the odds. You know, the more of these things you throw out them and the more often you do it, something eventually catches hold. But the main point I want people to hear is that we have very little science on this. So anyone who says, whether it's Cook Aquaculture or anybody else, that they know for sure it either is or isn't a problem, show me what you base it on.
Yeah. ideology or emotion. And that's not how Seattle Times environment reporter Linda Mapes operates. Good to see you again. Thanks for catching us up on this.
Thank you.
Let's do it again. We want to know what's unfolding.